Studio St. Paul, Minneapolis, 830 WCCO.
Lowell Thomas brings the news from the White House, from Kharkov, Ukraine, from Oklahoma City, comes today's news as reported by America's foremost newscaster, Lowell Thomas. Now here is Lowell Thomas and the news.
Good evening, everybody. In the bleak, black silence of space, a real cliffhanger, as you, of course, have heard by now. Still going on, the crippled Apollo 13 spacecraft swinging around the moon, attempting to limp home as best it can. The three men aboard, Jim Lovell, Fred Hayes, Jack Swigert, now dependent solely on their lunar lander, the Aquarius. Depending on it for all water, oxygen, and power, all happen to be in short supply, with nearly 3 days yet to go. Veteran space official Chris Kraft, summing it up, observing, "This is as serious a situation as we have ever had in manned space flight," said he. Astronaut Frank Borman, who commanded the nation's first moon orbiting mission, adding, "Our only concern is to get those guys home." Meanwhile, messages of concern for the astronauts' safety were voiced in capitals around the globe. Here on our own shores, the Senate passing a resolution urging Americans the nation over to pause briefly at 9 o'clock tonight in prayer for the astronauts' safe return. Senator Murphy of California, who originally offered the resolution, asserting, "I was taught when I was very young that when you are in trouble, it is not only wise to look around for help, but to look up, too."
25 minutes before 7, 55 degrees, we'll be getting an Apollo update now on the Apollo 13 flight. 25 before 7.
The flight of Apollo 13. I'm George Herman, CBS News Space Headquarters in New York. The men of Apollo 13 are behind the moon now, out of touch with the Earth, and will be so for another 11 minutes. They've speeded up in an orbit which will bring them back to Earth. 2 hours from now, they're scheduled to burn Aquarius's descent propulsion engine once again. This burn to speed up their return flight still further and bring them down in the South Pacific around 1 o'clock Friday afternoon, Eastern Time. All systems have been powered down as much as possible. The men are using the oxygen and the cooling water of Aquarius sparingly. Just before the loss of signal, Houston gave them this word.
Okay, Jim, we have a little over 2 minutes till LOS, and everything's looking good here.
Everything looking good indeed. Some comments on what went before and what is yet to come after this word from Dotson.
Wow.
Wow, what?
We've saved so much money since we started driving a Datsun, we can afford to take a vacation this year.
No kidding.
Yeah. I can't believe a car can be so economical to drive, and with a 3-speed automatic transmission.
Yeah.
Hey, how would you like to visit the place where they make them?
You mean it?
Why not?
Oh, we could see the cherry blossoms in bloom.
Yeah.
And we could go to that big fair they're having this year.
I didn't know they were having a big fair in Muncie, Indiana.
Oh, sure, they're... Muncie, Indiana.
Yeah, they say it's lovely this time of year.
Yeah, but the Datsun is an imported car. It's made in...
Yeah, but the 3-speed automatic transmission in the Datsun is made in Muncie, Indiana.
It is?
Yeah, I've never been to Muncie, Indiana.
Neither have I.
The economy of an imported car, the spirit of an American car. That's Datsun, the imported car with the 3-speed automatic transmission from Muncie, Indiana. See the complete Datsun line at any of the over 1,000 Datsun dealers in the United States and Canada and discover why Datsun sales are setting new records across the country. Datsun, product of Nissan.
The question is, what happened? What was the big bang which blew out the fuel cells and wrecked the command ship's service module? And will we ever find out? The service module is to be jettisoned and will burn up in the Earth's atmosphere. The question was put to Flight Director Jerry Griffin at his change of shift briefing.
I wouldn't say unequivocally sitting here right now that we can tell you exactly what happened without just from the data. But I would say this. I think the people in the program office are extremely good at taking data, not only here, but Huntsville and other places. In fact, they amaze me what they can tell with it. I think we've got a real good chance, after we get a real good close look at all of the data, to be able to put together, if not one, at least maybe two or three most likely things that happened. But of course, without retrieving the thing, you'll never know exactly the specifics.
In Houston, my CBS News colleague, Mike Stanley. Mike, what do we know now about landing plans on Friday?
Well, the latest thing we know, George, involves the readout from the computers here at the Manned Spacecraft Center, and Paracynthion, the point of closest approach to the moon, will occur at 7:41 Eastern Time. Now, there will be some microscopic adjustments made and the kind of burn which will be made because we cannot determine until the spacecraft comes around from behind that dark side of the moon. We'll acquire a signal about 7:46 Eastern time, and then some new calculations will be made. But the present thinking is that the burn will last for about 4 minutes, 20 seconds, and should add some 612 miles an hour to the velocity of the spacecraft, and that will bring us down to the Pacific at 1:13 p.m. Eastern time. The point, George, is that this is not a burn that will bring the men back to Earth. They're already headed back toward Earth. But were this burn not to be accomplished, the landing would occur in the Indian Ocean with no recovery forces available. So it's critical in terms of bringing the spacecraft down to the recovery fleet, the prime carrier, the Iwo Jima, standing by.
Very good.
The place is around Samoa.
Very good, Mike. All goes well on Apollo 13. George Herman, CBS News, Space Headquarters in New York. Here's CBS News continuing coverage of Apollo 13 on this CBS Radio network station.
WCCO 830 on your dial for the latest on Apollo 13.
This is the world tonight. Hope and prayers for the safety of Apollo 13, a new nominee for the United States Supreme Court, an appeal for military aid in Cambodia. Good evening, this is Douglas Edwards, CBS News. The world watches and waits tonight as the three men on Apollo 13 do all they can to bring their crippled craft back to Earth. The latest now from George Herman at the CBS News Space Headquarters.
Apollo 13 has swung around the back of the moon, hitting its fastest clip since the disaster aboard the service module last night. It's back in contact now with Houston, getting ready for the next big step, a firing of the descent propulsion engine once again. This time, a longer firing than the 30-second burn early this morning, which started Apollo 13 on a homeward-bound orbit. This one, a 4-minute and 20-second burn, designed to speed the returning astronauts to a Friday midday landing in the South Pacific, southeast of Samoa. Oxygen is plentiful aboard, but water for the cooling system is in short supply. There appears to be just enough if all goes well. Electrical power remaining in the batteries of Aquarius is the most critical item needed for navigation, instruments, controls, and communications. But it, too, is now expected to last. The situation aboard still serious, but if all systems work properly from here on in, a safe landing is in prospect for Apollo 13. George Herman, CBS News, Space Headquarters in New York.
The safety of the crew is the major concern on splashdown Friday, but there is another problem that may arise. Steve Young reports from the manned spacecraft center at Houston.
There is some concern about the system usually used to power experiments left on the moon and what will happen when the lunar lander is scuttled Friday. The LEM carries a small and domesticated nuclear power generator called SNAP-27. Its fuel is plutonium in the form of a slender cylinder. All literature put out by the prime contractor, which is the government, the Atomic Energy Commission, and the client, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, again the government, says SNAP is safe. Both agencies point out the plutonium is surrounded by a special alloy and then another casing of graphite. In virtually identical words, the AEC, in a new statement, and NASA, in an old, note the plutonium is not virulent, is nearly neutral, could threaten no one. The skeptics say that the heat of LEM's reentry could fuse that plutonium into globulets big enough to pose a serious radiation threat. And since the LEM is likely to streak high over several countries before burning up in a ball of flame, its swan song could upset international diplomacy. Or so goes that line of reasoning. Experts from NASA and the AEC are trying to dispel it tonight. Steve Young, CBS News, Manned Spacecraft Center, Houston.
The families of the Apollo 13 astronauts are reacting with a kind of quiet courage that has become a tradition now. Friends and relatives gathered at the Lovell and Hayes homes in Texas and brought comfort, support, and food. A minister came and gave communion to Mrs. Lovell and her two daughters, and another minister came to pray with Mrs. Hayes, who is 7 months pregnant. Swigert is a bachelor, and his parents are following the news in Denver. Ike Pappas talked to Dr. Swigert there.
How is Mrs. Swigert holding up?
She's probably kind of cracking up a little bit with this continual worry. She's probably more emotional than anyone would think. She hides it very well up to a point.
What are your thoughts of your son up there now?
Well, I'm just praying that he's doing everything that should be done, and that Lord will help him out in some way.
Dr. Swigert says that God is the fourth astronaut on Apollo 13, and he will guide them safely home. The World Tonight continues in a moment.